Women the Engineer would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians and owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Yagara and Turrbal people of Meanjin. We pay respect to their elders past and present. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. Hello and welcome back to Women That Engineer. I hope you're having a good day wherever you're listening from. Today is all about imposter syndrome. It sucks, and it turns out almost all of us experience it. Today's guest found imposter syndrome to be one of her biggest enemies throughout her university studies to become a civil engineer. She is now pursuing her interest in the resource sector after being valedictorian of her class. Arabella, hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. I'm so excited to talk to you today. I just mentioned you recently graduated as valedictorian. Congratulations, that's such an accomplishment.
Thank you.
Yeah, so now that you've graduated, are you keen for the next part in your engineering journey?
Yeah, it'll be a big step going from like studying in the same city I went to high school in and kind of packing everything up and moving like really far away from home to pursue my career, but I'm really looking forward to it. Worked really hard to finish my degree, so I'm glad that's done. but I'm looking forward to what's coming next for sure.
Yeah, it's really exciting. But before we kind of go further into what's next for you, maybe let's just backtrack. And I'd love to know kind of how this engineering journey started for you. When did you first discover engineering or your first memory?
It's kind of hard for me to have like an exact first memory because I do come from a family with a lot of engineers. All of them studied engineering before I was born, but there's no one conversation where I was like, oh, that's what an engineer is. I would say most likely though, I would have heard it from my mum. She's studied engineering herself. And my mum also encouraged me to pursue engineering a little bit. So I think really it would have been conversations with my mum that taught me what engineering is and got me really interested in it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Did you feel like that there were like what engineering was like for you? Like you heard about when you were little, you saw your parents or your mom specifically have this great career and you were like, yes, that is exactly what I want to do. Like, was there anything else that you thought that you wanted to kind of get into before you chose engineering?
Yeah, I feel like through high school, from year 8 to year 12, I basically changed my mind. And even in year 12, as I was getting close to QTAC applications, I was kind of like, I think teaching would be interesting. And then again, it was a conversation with my mum when she was like, just give engineering a go. And she gave me pretty good advice, which was like, engineering is such a diverse, I guess, degree. There's so many career options in it. And even if you like narrow yourself down to one major, one specialization, there's so many opportunities within your career to, you know, teach someone something if that's something you're interested in, or do presentations if you're interested in that. So yeah, and I was glad I listened to that because I can definitely see how engineering can translate into like a whole different range of jobs other than just like someone who's, you know, sitting down designing stuff or like putting numbers in a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely one of the things I think is really cool about engineering, the fact that even within your, I guess, discipline, as people have referred to them as, you can do so much. So yeah. Well, that's really cool. I think it's amazing that you were able to get that insight before kind of starting your degree. Do you think that maybe helped you get going? Like I know a lot of people, they start their degree, they maybe are unfamiliar with engineering, they're like, I have no idea what's going on. Did you feel like that made you feel more comfortable when you first started?
In some ways, yes, but in other ways, no, I guess. In some parts, I was kind of like, look, so many people have done an engineering degree before. Like, I know it must, like, you know, people are able to power through it. But I also know that what an engineering degree is has changed a lot over the last few years, just in terms of how they structure it. They're trying to make it more flexible. As new majors come up that haven't really existed before, and other majors that were really popular kind of start to die out just because there's lack of interest, or it's, the lines kind of get blurred between different types of engineering. So, for example, both my parents are mining engineers. So when they went through uni, it was very different, because like the degree I studied didn't even offer mining engineering as it's as like a major by itself. So yeah, I got a bit off of track there, but yeah, I guess what kind of got me through that first year was less so talking to people who had done it, a degree maybe 20 years ago, but talking to people who had like just kind of recently done it, like, their third or fourth year, or they've just graduated, and talking to them, a lot of them were like, look, it gets easier as you go on. You have more time as you get towards the second half of your degree. And it just becomes easier once you sort of figure out those, I guess, habits.
I mean that's a good point. Even though your parents might have done engineering, like when you start, it's very different. So yeah, that makes sense that obviously you would talk to someone that, has just gone through their degree to give you a very, maybe a more accurate idea of what it's like. 'Cause yeah, I mean, I've seen universities change their engineering degree structures so much because yeah, it's such a fast industry that's changing so quickly. Well, now we know that you got into engineering, you know a little bit about it. As you went through, obviously you knew that, maybe eventually it would get a little bit easier. You knew that you'd get out the other end. But what was your biggest challenge?
So my challenge through university, which is something I still sort of struggle with in other parts of life, is my imposter syndrome. So like through university, doing like volunteer roles, even in leadership positions, and even working like as an undergraduate engineer, I always felt like I was, not always, but like I had these moments, I guess, where I would feel like, I don't really deserve to be here yet. Like I was like, oh, everyone seems to know this stuff, so like it comes so natural to them, especially working with graduates who were only like a couple years older than me, but I hadn't quite realized that in those 2 years they'd gotten so much experience because they were working full time and I wasn't. But it felt like, yeah, just this feeling of like, oh, nobody knows that I'm not really meant to be here. Nobody's figured out that like I don't know what I'm doing, which is really tough, even like through university. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I have definitely felt that too, and it's a really hard feeling. I think it's one of the things that really held me back. There were times where I would just be trying to complete an assignment and it was just really testing me, and I was like, that's it, I can't do
Absolutely.
this, like I shouldn't be here in the first place, like and then I started my undergrad role and I felt the same. I was like, wow, these grads know so much more than me, and I'm just about to graduate. Oh my gosh, I know nothing about my entire degree because they know so much. I would imagine that there are a lot of people that have probably felt the same way. Before we go into a little bit more about it, everybody listening in, who maybe don't know what imposter syndrome is defined as, I've got a little definition that I got from STEM Women Online. So, imposter syndrome is defined as the experience of believing that you are not as competent as others may perceive you to be. And it can be a collection of feelings of inadequacy, like you described, and that can persist despite success. And I think something that's really like struck me is that, you achieve valedictorian, which clearly proves that you are insanely intelligent, you are so capable, and yet you yourself have felt, I don't know if I belong here. What do you think has, I guess, made you feel that has like, is it, do you think it's related to maybe your gender? Is it, you know, because maybe you felt unprepared going into things? Yeah, what do you think maybe contributed it?
That's an interesting question. I guess I hadn't really thought about it too much. But I think gender definitely has a part in it. I've had conversations with people, which I haven't really enjoyed, where there's just little comments about, I guess, women going into engineering roles, that it's, quote, so much easier because of quotas or special, women in engineering programs. There's some companies really pushing the diversity programs and things like that, which kind of, and just the idea of like, oh yeah, you're a girl applying for that role, they'll definitely take you because they really want girls, which kind of makes you feel like, oh, okay, so no one's actually cares about my skill levels. They'll just take anyone. Maybe I'm not as good as I think I am, because they're going to take me anyway. So even though I've applied to this job or leadership position at uni, or I've done this assignment and gotten the mark back, or I worked in this group project and the tutor really liked my course, my work, sorry, maybe I didn't really deserve it just because they're being nice, or they want to have, good diversity numbers. So I definitely think gender plays a role in it, and people's attitudes to gender in an engineering space. Yeah, I think social media also can play into it. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, actually, about how, in particular, LinkedIn, I guess, like the purpose of LinkedIn is to post about your achievements and the things you are succeeding in. But sometimes it is a bit overwhelming to be on holiday over your break. Maybe you just check in LinkedIn, someone's added you, and then you start scrolling and you see all the achievements and, papers people are publishing at my age, the national awards they're getting, the massive scholarships they're getting, and you're just thinking, oh, okay, like we are in the same degree, we have the same amount of free time, and they're doing all of that. Why aren't I doing that? Even if you have no idea what other parts of their life look like, but I guess social media just give you like such a kind of pinhole point of view into someone's life that it's really hard to sort of judge people fairly and then put like fair judgment on yourself.
Yes, I agree with literally everything you said. The diversity hire kind of comments, I think are a really difficult thing because yeah, I've heard that too. Oh, yeah, of course you're gonna get accepted because they need to have 50% women and male intakes. And yeah, it does make you feel, oh, well, then like my yeah, it makes you feel discredited, and that's really frustrating. And I think you have a really good point about social media and seeing everybody else, seeing only the highlights of their life, and then comparing that to all of yours is, I think, something that I think affects everybody just outside of their career as well on Instagram, Facebook. You see these people with these beautiful lives and these really beautiful doodles, and you're like, oh my gosh, I want a beautiful puppy like that. What they don't show you is, like the late nights that they spent training their puppy. Slight detour there, but anyway, can you tell I want a puppy? I want to say that I feel your frustration in those things, and to everybody else listening, I think working hard to make sure that actually you're not, like, to know that you're not a diversity hire. You have gone to university, you got into the engineering degree because you are smart and you worked hard for it, and you took time to apply to that job, to put things on your resume, to go to that interview, and they chose you because you were competent and you are capable, and not just because you are a woman. I think it's sometimes nice to hear that from someone that isn't yourself. And I definitely wish that that was maybe something that was said more often, because reflecting, I think that has definitely made me feel, or maybe I don't really belong here because I'm just here for diversity stats. I did a little bit of research about, you know, reasons that imposter syndrome is so prevalent, especially for women. And I came across some really interesting things. So I'm keen to hear what you think. So one of the sources was saying that imposter syndrome is suggested to come from the hierarchical structure of the industry. So as you mentioned before, you know, you are an undergraduate, then you become a graduate, and then you kind of keep going up from there. And the fact that you will always work with someone that's typically higher than you, and that can make you feel like you don't know anything because you're always working with someone who seems to know so much more, and you're always working to move that little bit higher. I read that and I thought, you know what, that does make sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not something I thought about, but it does make sense when you've got, like, you know, each role you have a manager you directly report to who just seems to know the answers to everything, and it just comes like that to them. And I guess, yeah, and once you kind of get, if you made it to, say, their role, they've got a manager they report to who knows even more, and it kind of just works that way up until, you know, you can't really, unless you're like the CEO, you're not really going to be in a position where you're not reporting to anyone who in theory should know more than you, and will, I guess, continue that hierarchical structure.
Yeah, and when I read that, it felt like a really nice reminder that, like, I am a graduate, and I kind of am at the bottom, and there definitely are going to be people that know a lot more than me, and you know what, that is okay, and you know, that actually doesn't mean that I'm not capable, it just means that I, you know, have a lot to learn because I'm just starting out. So that kind of really resonated with me. And something else, another point that I thought was really kind of interesting is that it suggested that people working in STEM suffer more from imposter syndrome because technical concepts advance so much more rapidly than a human brain can keep up. And yet in an engineering role, you are expected to keep up with the advancements of the industry. I'm just a baby, so I don't really know too much about that yet, but I have to say that I think that that is probably also a really good point in, you know, maybe looking on LinkedIn and you see someone working on a paper that was just published on this really cool, amazing technology that is really detailed and brand new, and you're like, well, I don't know what this is. I've never heard of this. And you start to feel, oh, maybe I'm incompetent because I have no idea what this new technology is.
Yeah, that one also makes sense. So studying a civil engineering degree, we worked a lot with Australian standards. So those are, you know, standards for example, designing steel structures or concrete structures. And they get updated pretty regularly, to the point where there were certain courses we were taking that had to do with, I think, yeah, concrete structures was one where we couldn't look at past papers past a certain date because they had been using a different standard and were calculating things completely differently. And that was, like, I think it'd been updated in, I want to say, like, the last 10 years or something, maybe even more recent than that. And it just kind of shows there's just so much advancements, I guess, in the industry that even at a student level, it's hard to keep up. So I can imagine just being, like, in the industry where you're working with it every single day, it would be so difficult to sort of like have something really down pat. You've got all your methods and everything sorted out. And then the Australian standards are like, hey, we've got a new method. You have to use this now. And sometimes that means like the whole method has completely changed. So you basically have to start from like square one and use it again. So yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I guess I hadn't really thought about why we talk about so much in STEM and maybe not other careers, but that technical side of it would definitely make it more difficult to feel like you're keeping up with the times.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think just reading that was a really nice reminder that like we are engineers, and yes, we are associated with being, you know, great problem solvers, but we're not machines, and we are people. And you know, like it's I think a lot of us put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be the best and keep up with everything, but realistically it's not always possible. And just because you don't feel like you are doesn't mean that that completely discredits everything that you've done. Yeah, so now that we've talked about imposter syndrome, all of the things that I guess contribute to it, kind of reflecting, what do you think you've learned the most from this challenge, from, you know, going into maybe a new role, maybe, you know, starting in a new workplace and, you know, feeling a little bit anxious because, or that you don't belong, feeling like an imposter? What would you say to someone, you know, maybe that's like just starting their degree and already kind of feels like that?
Yeah, I would say that you're definitely not alone. It was pretty interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I had a pre-induction session for the grad program I'm going into. And it was really great because it touched on a little bit of what we're talking about today in terms of being afraid to speak up. And out of everyone in the Zoom, almost every single graduate going into the role, and they were from a like such a wide range of careers, not just engineering. There were human resources, occupational health and safety people there, and they were all saying that they were nervous to start a new role. They all felt like they didn't know enough to go into it. And it was really reassuring to hear from this particular company's human resources manager saying, look, we know you guys aren't going to know much when you start. That's the whole point of the grad program, which is really nice to hear from them. So I guess I kind of just want to pass on that advice. Like, if you feel like you don't know anything, it's because you're not meant to know anything. You are quite literally a student. You're there to learn. And even as you progress from student to graduate, the same thing. You're a graduate, you're not a full engineer yet because you're still meant to be learning, and there's so many things you can't learn at university. You have to learn on the job just because that's how the way industry works. So if you feel like you get into work as an undergrad and you're like, why aren't I getting it, it's because you're not meant to get it yet. Like, it takes time. And I guarantee if you talk to your friends, more often than not, most of them are feeling that way in one way or another. Some people feel it more, some people feel it like in very certain parts of their life. But yeah, it's definitely not a unique problem.
Yes, I love that. And I wish that I met you when I first started and heard you say that to me. I love that if you don't know it, it's probably just because you're not really meant to know it yet. I love that. I think that's great. I think I'm really going to take that on board. Well, I think the next part of our session is what we think, or what you think is or are the biggest limiting factors for women in engineering.
I think some of the biggest limiting factors for women in engineering are the misconceptions about the career, I guess the different careers, I should say, and even the degree itself. And that kind of ties into imposter syndrome, because I think there's this idea that, you know, if you're on a construction site or a mining site, it's very limiting, time demanding, you can't prioritize anything else, when that in reality is the furthest from the truth. From what I've seen, I've met women working on mine sites who like are able to leave for school pickup and they just kind of work around it and things like that. So I guess that kind of also ties into imposter syndrome. So if people feel like they don't have the, I guess, skills for engineering, either because they just haven't really had a chance to, I guess, test those skills, or they've been told that they don't have the skills for it, or if they have other life goals that they feel like would conflict with it. Like if you're a lot of people, if they're planning on starting a family, might think that a role like engineering, I don't know, sounds a bit scary, which sounds a little bit silly. I think, yeah. So I guess like reword that. I think the biggest misconceptions are that engineering is too time demanding and inflexible, which I don't think is true.
I think that is a really, really good point. I think there's definitely a misconception that if you work in engineering, you work really long hours, you're going to, you can't, you know, take a break to have your children because you need to keep up with what's happening in the industry and you need to keep up with developing your skills. And when I started my degree, I felt like if I was going to choose this career, I needed to accept the fact that I probably wouldn't have the space to be a mom because, you know, I was really invested in, you know, my career and getting involved in things like that. And now that I've started, my manager, she works a 4-day week. She's got grown up children. She's really cool. She's, you know, really high at the top. And I'm like, oh, so you can do it all. And yeah, I think if we can get more word around that, don't get me wrong, it's hard. I do not doubt that raising a family while working is very difficult, but you can do it. And
yeah,
I don't know, it breaks my heart because I think that anyone, especially women, are capable of literally anything if they just knew that they could do it and they had that encouragement. And so what do you think that we could do to maybe get that message across to, you know, tell people you can be an engineer and a female at the same time?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that kind of helped me show it was possible to have a life, you know, a work-life balance with engineering was hearing real life stories. And I definitely think that having those role models or those stories to look up to can show all people, but especially women, like it is possible if you want to settle down and have a family and then come back to engineering later. There are women that have done that. If you want to have kids, take a little bit of time off, but then get straight back into it, heaps of women have done that too. There's opportunities to go part-time in a lot of different engineering roles as well. So if you do want to be there for part of the time, it's not like this fixed constraint thing. Obviously, it is going to depend on what role you're specifically in, your location, your company, etc. But I think especially because engineering is such a broad degree, even within, you know, the specific disciplines, there are so many opportunities to have this really, I guess, rewarding career as a problem solver, as someone who's doing advancements for the community, for society. You can do that and still achieve the other things you want in life.
Yes.
So yeah, just hearing those stories, I think, is the biggest thing we can do.
Yes, I definitely agree with you there. And that's part of the reason that I you know, kind of started this podcast to build the community, because I know that my opinion on what I can be as an engineer has changed because of the stories and successes that I've seen. I think this is all we have time for today. This has been a really fun discussion, and I think the topics we've talked about, I think a lot of people are probably going to resonate with. And imposter syndrome, I think, can be really hard to talk about sometimes, but it has a really big impact, and it does need to be spoken about. So thank you for sharing your journey and, you know, your insights. This podcast obviously would not be possible without people like you being open to sharing their thoughts and experiences. And yeah, I'll be posting a thread in the Facebook group to get everybody's thoughts on imposter syndrome, what they think, you know, can be done to help people feel less alone in their struggles. So if you're not already a part of it, please join our Facebook group, Women the Engineer, and join in our conversation. And I'll see you guys next week for another episode.